Welcome. I'm Lisa Crilly Malice, and today we are going to talk about how to increase the room on your calendar so that you can achieve more every day and spend more time doing the things that are super important to you and the things that really drive you towards accomplishing your goals, instead of spending your time each day on a lot of different tasks that may or may not get you any closer to getting to the place that you want to be in your life. For example, you may have a day that is jam-packed from the second you get up in the morning to the second you go to bed at night, and you love being busy. However, what you find is if you were to really sit back and examine each and every one of your tasks, that not a lot of them are for you and directly related to achieving your goals. There's a lot of other stuff in there. What we're going to do today is go through a very systematic process to help you get to a place where you can easily and quickly determine, are these tasks and actions and commitments and obligations and whatever name you want to put around it, are these things that you should be doing? Are these things that will get you closer to your goal? Or is this just a lot of stuff that landed on your calendar somehow? First, pull out your guide. Make sure that you've already downloaded your 5 D's of task management. Make sure you have that sitting in front of you. We're going to walk through this flow chart. And the idea of the flow chart is not that every single time you do something, you come back and walk through the flowchart. The idea is just to get the information out in a systematic way and allow you a structure to fall back to when you feel as if your calendar is becoming too full. And so it helps clear the calendar, and then it's a great support system, 6 months, 12, you know, a year, whatever, down the road to come back and reference this to make sure that you're staying where you need to be. It's also a great guide when you're doing an evaluation period at the end of a week. Flip back through the flow chart, look through it. It'll help you make sure everything's staying in line. The first thing that I want you to do is with your calendar and the flow chart, go ahead and put them side by side and look at the first task on your list. So your calendar, your to-do list, anything that captures what it is you're going to be spending your time on today. I want you to look at the first one, and I want you to ask yourself, will this task move me closer to my goals? Take it a step further than that and name the goal. What task is this actually, or what goal is this task actually going to move you forward to accomplishing? If the answer is no, or if you find that you're sitting there pondering it for a while, that means the answer is no, then go ahead and delete the task. And I know, easier said than done. Bottom line is, you can fill your calendar with good things all day long, and those will push out the room for great things. The great things are 100% in alignment with who you are, who you want to be, what goals you want to accomplish, your bigger picture, your bigger version of you. Good things are kind of in line with those. They may be enjoyable, but they're not the biggest bang for the buck. And so anything that doesn't align 100% with one of your goals that you can easily name, delete it. Go through your calendar with a fine-tooth comb. Go through your task list with a fine-tooth comb. Anything that doesn't move you closer to accomplishing a goal, there's no reason for it to be there. Get rid of it. Then we're going to flip to the other side of that equation. Will this task move me closer to my goal, and can I name that goal? The answer is yes. Great. Now we come down to the part about urgency. What's the urgency? Is this something that I need to do right now, or is this something I can do later? And so let's be clear. I am not advocating procrastination. What I advocate is making sure that you do tasks that, or projects, or meetings when the resources for that endeavor are the greatest. And so this is what I call being able to defer. Sometimes we can defer a task to like the third quarter because we know that financial resources may be greater at that time. Or we can defer a task to next week because we know that our mental resources will be greater on a Monday after a relaxing weekend than they possibly are on a Thursday after just finishing up a huge project. Or maybe we defer to a different season based on the fact that we will have seasonal help available that we don't have now. Again, it's not procrastinating because you are deferring with an intent. You are being proactive. You are saying that my resources, whether they be mental or physical or monetary or more time or whatever that may be, you're saying those are going to be greater at a different time. And therefore, that's where you defer to. Deferring is also a great strategy to use if you find yourself easily caught up in the shiny object syndrome, meaning that you, the next great idea always seems much more doable and important and of greater value than what you're currently doing. So in that case, what I encourage you to do is keep a list of projects that you're currently working on, whatever it is, 2, 5, whatever, limit it. And then when the next shiny object comes on, decide if this one comes into your life, which one goes out? And if it goes out, when does it get picked back up again? Meaning instead of adding, if you have 5 projects and that you're working on for the quarter, and then you add in a 6th, then you add in a 7th, and then you add in an 8th, you're diluting your effectiveness across the board. But if you say 5's my magic number, I can easily work with 5, and I'll say 5 is probably high. For me, typically it's 3 a quarter, maybe even 2, but whatever works best for you. Take however many it is, and if you're going to add something in, something goes out. You don't want to lose track of that if it's important, so make sure that you tag it on a calendar somewhere. Don't lose, if you're deferring something until resources are greater, make sure that you tickle a reminder in somewhere so that you come back to that project. We've come down this on the left side, we're on the left side of your flowchart. We come down and we say, yes, this task is going to get me closer to my goals. However, later is a better time for it. So I'm going to defer. And I'm going to track what I'm going to defer it to. Let's say the task is in line with your goals. And again, I will say task throughout this. However, feel free to substitute in obligation or meeting or event. You know, this is not just tasks. It's anything that hits your to-do list or your calendar. So let's just say the urgency is now. This is something that needs to happen right now. The next question that I want you to ask yourself is, am I the only one that can do this? Am I the only one that can do this? And if the answer is no, then I want you to track it or delegate it. One of the challenges we have when we delegate is that we lose track of what we've delegated until it's past, the project's past due, or until something happens. And so we're not following it in a proactive manner. So go ahead and create a tracking list for things that you've delegated, or toggle reminders in your calendar to follow up with people you've delegated to. But make sure that you are delegating tasks that are not things that only you can do. So example of those are routine tasks. Things that happen over and over and over again in your life and your business. Social media posts, PR about presentations, possibly blog writing if you want to get a content writer, or SEO on your blog, or also maybe client enrollment. Every time a client's enrolled, X, Y, and Z happens for that. There are things that happen daily or weekly or monthly that you can delegate out, because once you teach it once and fine tune it on the second or third time after that, someone can do that for you over and over and over again and do it well. Another type of task that's easily delegated are necessary tasks or maintenance tasks. There's the things that you do to make sure life keeps running smoothly, but they don't require your personal touch or your personal attention. If you enjoy doing them, great. Add that down as one of the things that you factor in when you're deciding if you're going to do or not do a task. For example, grocery shopping, meal prep, laundry, any of those household maintenance things, paying on a business end, paying bills. That's a maintenance, invoicing clients. That's a maintenance type activity. It has to be done to keep the business moving forward. Maybe processing mail, processing incoming customer requests. One of my clients receives many, many requests for her to speak or for her to train or looking for information on hiring her. And they usually fall into three or four different categories. And so she has a form letter that handles three of the main categories of requests that she gets that's not work that she does. And so she has an assistant send those out so that she can focus on answering the requests for the work that she actually does do. So again, maintenance type activities, you need to do those to continue to move forward. Maybe it's yard work. I, every year, try to delegate putting mulch out. Sometimes I'm more successful with that attempt to delegate than others. I'm not going to lie. I am not perfect when it comes to all of these pieces. I'm human like the rest of us. However, I don't like putting down mulch. I do not mind weeding. It helps me relax. It helps me refocus. It's an activity. That's a maintenance activity, but one that I get a secondary benefit from. So I don't delegate that out. Putting down mulch, I hate. So I do everything I can to make sure that there's someone around to put the mulch down for me. There are many, many, many other tips when it comes to delegating that I share in my webinar, Delegate Like a Pro, Even If You Have No One to Delegate To. And there's an action guide that comes with that. It's about a 45-minute webinar. So feel free to check that out after finishing this short audio. But the biggest thing I can tell you with delegating is keep a list of resources. Who are the people that you can delegate to? And then ask yourself, if this task aligns with my goals, am I the only one that can do it? And if not, then absolutely positively, you need to delegate that out. And so look at your list of resources. I was just working with a client before recording this video, and he's like, well, I think I only have one resource. And he wrote that person down. And then we talked some more. He had seven different people within his work environment that he could delegate tasks to, and he wasn't using six of them. So just put a little brain power behind it, and you'll be amazed at what you can find. So let's back up a little bit. We know the task is aligned with our goals. We know it's something that needs to be done now. And the answer is yes, you are the only one that can do it. You may now be thinking, great, we're at the end of this audio. I'm going to go do this task. And the answer is no, we're almost to the end of this audio. You still have one more question to ask yourself before you do the task. And the question you want to ask yourself is, can the specifics of the task be adapted so that you can change your give, adapt your give a little bit so that you can minimize the resources used to maximize the value to you? For example, one of my clients teaches PSR to second grade students who are going to take their first communion. And so her give there is pretty large. If we go through the flowchart, it is in line with her values. It is something that only she can do. It is something that is important to her. It matches up with one of her goals. It's something that needs to happen right now. But the give was really large when it came to time. It was a like 8-month commitment every Sunday for 2 hours. Like that's a pretty large chunk of time. And when we talked about redefining it, what we realized was that she could accomplish all of those things that were important to her, but lessen her time commitment by training people to teach PSR. So originally she thought, I am the only one that can do this. And what we realized was that she wasn't the only one that can do it. She had been the only one who'd been doing it for a really long time. But once she could train people how to do it, she could then pull back her commitment, her give, to just an hour or so a month. That's redefining. Lower the amount of resources you're giving so that you, and raise, if possible, what you're getting back. You want to remember the whole premise behind these D's is that your calendar's full and it's keeping you from then accomplishing and achieving your goals and your dreams. So if you can lower the time commitment or the monetary commitment or the mental commitment that for a task or obligation, but still receive the same value back or greater value back, that right there is a win. That's what we're trying to do. Another way when we're looking at can we redefine a task, this flowchart is a perfect example of this. Was I the only one that could create this flowchart? Absolutely. I knew what I wanted to say. I knew the value of this process. I needed to be the one to create the flowchart. However, the first version of this flowchart looked nothing like this. It was scribbled on a piece of paper in pencil with arrows all over the place, which I then scanned and sent to my virtual assistant, who then created this very nice document that you're looking at now. I redefined my give on this. I had a task. The information was in my head. I needed to be able to share that with you. So I needed to create the flowchart, but I didn't need to create the finished product. So those are two different examples of how you can redefine how you are approaching an obligation or a task. As we work through this flowchart, because again, the goal, clear space in the calendar. As we work through the flowchart, will the task move me closer to my goals? If the answer is no, delete it, get it off your calendar. Be really tough on your calendar and your to-do list. Get rid of stuff. If it will move you closer to your goal and you can define your goal, great. Then determine, does it need to happen now or later? If the answer is later, defer it and make sure you don't lose track of it. So do something to make sure that you toggle your memory for later. If the urgency is now, great. Are you the only one that can do it or not? If you're not the only one that can do it, delegate it out. It's really useful to keep an index card or a post-it note or a pop-up on your screen or something that punches you in the face almost that says, here's my resources. Here are the people I can delegate to. And look at them before you do a task. Who can I give this to that can do it better, quicker, easier than I could so that I can do the things that only I can do? Let's say, though, that you are the only one that can do it. Can you adapt it? Look there. Is there any way to lower your give to keep the value the same or raise the value? If that's the case, then redefine it. If not, then great. It stays on your calendar. One last tip I want to give you before closing out this audio. Many times, clients will go through this whole flowchart and they won't remove a single thing from their calendar or their to-do list. And they'll say, everything on here is in line with my goals. Everything's on here is something only I can do and it all needs to happen right now and exactly the way that it's been defined. Because it's easy to fall into that trap of I've done it this way, so I'm always going to do it this way. If I were to offer you $10,000 to delete something from your list, I bet you could find something. Or if I were to offer you $10,000 to delegate something to someone, I'll bet you could find something to delegate. So if you're struggling to go through any of these D's and actually make an improvement in your calendar, try to flip your perspective a little bit. If I was offered $10,000, would any of this change? And many times that helps get you into that solutions mindset instead of the reactive mindset. Good luck working through the flowchart, clearing space in your calendar to allow you more room and more energy and more mental focus and more money and more everything so that you can accomplish the tasks that really move you closer to achieving your goals. As a reminder, if you know that delegating is one of the areas that you could use a little brush up on your skills in, because delegating truly is a skill, then I invite you to check out my webinar that has an action guide with it, Delegate Like a Pro, Even If You Have No One to Delegate To. That gives us like 45 minutes of really strategic tactics and strategies to help you fine-tune and improve your delegating skills. Until next time, have a wonderful, fun, productive, rewarding day.